Welcome to today's episode of Journey to There, exploring the intersection between personal and business growth. And now your hosts, Tracy DeForge and Russ Reba.
Okay, we are on location today. Journey to There plays on your apps such as Stitcher, iTunes, iHeartRadio, the SiriusXM app, it's called Spoke, and so much more. But I have to share with you that we have earned the respect of the folks at the 2017 Work It Festival in Los Angeles. It's a women's podcast festival, and that's part of the reason why I'm back east at the main studios. I'm not a woman. And you, let's say this officially. You are at the WNYC Studios Festival for Women in Podcasting in the pop-up studio, proudly powered by Cole Haan. We got to give them props. Committed to extraordinary women telling extraordinary stories. Tracy, are you having a great time out there?
I'd love to tell you that we wish you were here, but this is Girl Power Podcast Conference. But no, we miss you.
Oh, and I miss you too.
Everything about this conference has been amazing. I'm at the Work It Podcast Festival for Women, and we're in the pop-up studio live in Los Angeles, and I could not have a better guest to represent Girl Power than Gina Delvac, the producer and podcast extraordinaire of Call Your Girlfriend. How about that?
Thanks for having me, Tracy.
Yes, absolutely. Well, here's the thing. Like, there's no more fun things to talk about than calling your girlfriend. And for me, there's no more fun thing to talk about than the business of being in business with your girlfriends.
Yeah.
And so we get the beautiful intersection of personal and business growth with this today. I'm so, so incredibly excited. So tell a little bit for our listeners. Tell us a little bit about you, because I'm sure they've heard of you because you're famous, of course, in podcast land. But in the event not, tell us a little bit about you.
So I produce the podcast Call Your Girlfriend, which is for long distance besties everywhere. And we got started in 2014. It was a project among my two friends who are longtime, long distance best friends who always joked that, you know, oh, people always say we should do a podcast because we have great rapport and we're both really well read and funny. And I added my name to the list of, yes, you should. And when you're ready to do it, you know who to call to produce.
So, oh, yes.
So we got started in May of 2014, and it's been going strong ever since. And it's been a very exciting journey on the creative and editorial side, as well as figuring out that, oops, we started a small business.
I love the oops, we started a small business, because I've worked for decade or more in working with women entrepreneurs. And one of the things that I speak about so often is honoring the feminine way that women do business, that that's a positive, not necessarily a negative, because men have a tendency to be linear in their thinking, which, again, not a negative, just a factual statement. And women have a tendency to be more circular in their thinking, and they're more multitasking, and they're just, they work a lot from their gut and their intuition. So, and they create happy accidents, not literally, figuratively, maybe sure. Some of those too. But anyway, so what I'm hearing you say then is that Call Your Girlfriend was not necessarily meant to be the business that it's become today, right?
We saw the opportunity and jumped on it. I mean, I think it was started as a fun and exciting project that filled some of our creative goals, that was a fun way to keep in touch and really experiment. And then as we saw podcasting grow, and as we spent more and more time to make it good, we did what any logical person in a capitalist system does, which is I'd like to get paid for the work that I do.
This is
creative work, but it's hard work.
Yes.
And so how do we find the revenue to support this? So I think that we're definitely a feminist business in that way, which is that we believe that we pay, even when we work with our friends, we try and pay market rate as much as possible, that it's not about working on favors, it's about honoring everyone's contributions and compensating fairly.
And that is so incredibly important, and a lot of people miss that because perhaps they do start their businesses with their friends, and so they think about, like, oh, well, we're just friends, and now we're friends doing business. But I like that you're really putting the priority and importance on keeping that financial piece intact, because it honoring the value of what someone else's services and what they bring to the table continues to make that person feel valued, which makes them want to continue to bring forth more of what they're great at.
Absolutely.
And it also, I would imagine, and based on my experience, it keeps the friendship part intact as well.
Absolutely. And you know how, you know, there's some friends that we love each other, our personal connection is so meaningful, but like, you could never be my roommate, or I don't really want to go on a trip with you. In a similar way, I think having a warm and robust interpersonal connection can completely enhance the business relationship, because the time you spend together feels fun, feels valuable, brings more meaning to your life. But in the same way, I think, you know, I can't say enough about my business partners, Anne Friedman and Aminatou Sow. They're both so smart, so gifted in so many areas, not just the talent that they bring to the show, but all the kinds of editorial and business acumen behind the scenes. So I couldn't have asked for two friends who are better suited to be business partners. And so as a result, I think all of our friendships as well as the partnership have been enriched mutually by integrating the business with the personal, which I know you're so focused on.
Well, I am, because I think that, again, for honoring the feminine way that women do business, is that our personal lives can be challenged by what's going on in our business, and our business growth can be challenged by what's going on in our personal lives. Then you add in that third layer of the possibility of doing business with your dearest, but I mean, like, I love that you're the podcast for besties, but, you know, and especially long distance. And I had an experience early on in my career when I was working in radio that I actually hired my best friend. Mm. And when I say my best friend, I mean, like, we've been best friends since we were 15 and 16. We were those two girls that were like, oh, we're going to live next door to each other. We're going to get married at the same time. We're going to work together. And we actually ended up doing that, which is crazy, crazy good. But when she very first came to work, and I always say with me, because most people, I don't like for me all that much. I like to think of people working with me. But all that being said, we had a conversation about, like, okay, friendships first, like, friendships rules is number one. And then the business part is, you know, secondary to that. And so radio, as you know, so competitive. So she would, like, for example, she would handle Coke and I would handle Pepsi, or vice versa, you know, Miller, whatever. She would handle the competitor to my account. And so we could, like, get into it in the day in the radio station, and then 5:30 leave and go have a drink and be besties again. But a lot of people would ask us, how are you able to do that? And I think it's because we made a commitment on the front end to make that a priority.
Yes.
Because you guys were already friends when you started your podcast. It wasn't one of those things where you were got into the business and then became friends. You were friends and then got into the business.
And most particularly, Anne and Aminatou, the hosts of the show, they had been best friends for many years by the time we started the show. I met Anne a few years before that, and we were becoming better friends. And so in that sense, I think I didn't start out with the closest relationship of my life to either of them, but I think all of the friendships have been enhanced by being in business together, and the business, like I said, has been enhanced by having that backstop of, we care about the whole person. So if someone is sick, if someone has a conflict with a potential advertiser, that there's a deference to who you are as a person is what enables you to do well in business. And I think that kind of holistic thinking enhances both sides of the relationship.
No matter if it's girlfriend and boyfriend, no matter who it is, that philosophy reigns supreme, in my opinion, and what drives success for sure, because it keeps your authenticity to your core. And that, I always believe, comes out as an extension of your brand. And I mean, nothing else, it just spreads good karma.
Yeah, no kidding.
Call your girlfriend, has some good karma.
Thank you.
Well, I was mentioning about the idea of being friends and then starting a business versus starting a business and becoming friends. You have a little bit of both, because your two co-hosts were already existing friends, and now you've developed a more intimate friendship as a result of doing the podcast with them. Have you ever you know, I don't want you to tattletale, but have you guys ever like gotten in an argument or disagreed, or like how do you settle that when that happens? Like, I mean, you know, have you ever had a cat fight behind the mic?
Definitely no cat fights, and cat fighting isn't a mode of female relationships that I think any of us ascribe to.
I think, you know, there's
a strong founding principle of our show that I think has existed among women's friendships throughout time, but I think certainly more and more as friendship is recognized as a really valuable and powerful category of relationship, that it's something that Anne and Aminatu actually trademarked called shine theory, which is essentially the idea that I don't shine if you don't shine,
that
success doesn't take away from mine, that each person has something to contribute. And so that doesn't mean that we're not competitive. It doesn't mean that we don't have strong points of view, but there is a sense that tearing somebody down doesn't build me up.
Right.
And as a result, I think our conversations tend to be, we have some of the most efficient meetings I ever participate in. We are ready to get things done, make decisions, move forward. And there's, you know, when interpersonal things arise, as they inevitably do, there tends to be a really kind of thoughtful and logical conversation about it. And I think it comes back to knowing that we hold each other's best interests at heart.
So great. Well, so I was involved in raising investor capital, and there's been a lot in the news lately about women and getting investment capital. So unfortunately, what I'm sharing about happened in, you know, 2010, and we're still talking about it as a challenge in 2017. But all that being said, what I found in going up in front of the investors and pitching for the capital, and they were all primarily men, was that they didn't appear to take our business as seriously because the founder was a female and I was the CEO as a female, and the business was around women networking. It was an online and global in-person and online network of women entrepreneurs. And so they had a tendency to implicate and just come right out and say that they weren't 100% convinced that we would take the business seriously. Mm-hmm. And that was insulting and mm-hmm. really unfortunate, I think.
Did you hear about the women entrepreneurs who hired a fake male co-founder to take to meetings?
I hadn't, but I'm not surprised. In fact, I was sharing on an episode that we did earlier about that because I clearly have a Southern accent and you're looking at me, so you know I have blonde hair and there are other parts of my body that are large, as in the top half. And I would be going to New York to pitch for these investors, and I would feel like they would just see me coming. Blonde hair, big boobs, Southern accent, like I'm already this checklist of stereotypes. And so mm-hmm. I dyed my hair. I'm not necessarily proud of this, but I dyed my hair brown and I wore my glasses.
Wow.
Because I thought I can't do anything about the boobs and I can't really do anything about the accent, but I can tone down the other part. And I look back on that now and I'm the person I am today would so never even do that. But I did that then because I was so intimidated. And I think that's just the way it is, unfortunately.
Especially when you're raising capital, there's a sense that there's a profile of who people are looking for. And if you're anywhere outside that, you try to conform as much as possible. And where I think those of us that have spent a little time in business, you recognize that having an unusual perspective or point of view can also raise you a ton of money.
That's
money left on the table.
Like being innovative is actually okay.
Right.
Well, and I was reading, there's a Harvard business.
Sorry, I didn't ask if we could swear on your show. I can take that again if you want. You can raise a whole lot of money. You can cut that in.
Yeah, Russ, we'll just let you handle that one. So Harvard Business School actually did a study, and I think it's so fascinating, especially based on the topic that we're talking about. It says groups made up of friends prove to be the most unstable, and founder turnover rate of nearly 30%.
Wow.
And so I thought, you know, what is the why on that? And I think personally that the why has a lot to do with what you're doing right, which is that I love the idea of the shine theory and the fact that you don't shine if I don't shine, and lifting each other up and being efficient and being business minded, but also being respectful. I mean, I think that is the 70% that aren't turning over are doing that for sure. But I also think that clear roles and definitions about in the business, so even if it was a husband and wife or two best friends, I think if you have clearly delineated roles of who does what, then that ensures another layer of success.
Yeah, and this is completely anecdotal, but I think from growing up, I always had the idea that groups of three that were friends had the potential to be very toxic because people gang up on one another. We have found in this business capacity, having three is a really nice ability to delineate those roles. It means that if one person is having some other issue in their life or has conflicting work or other things that you would champion them participating in, that there's enough capacity to pick up in that in the absence of that.
Right.
It also means you have a built-in tiebreaker. So there's a whole thing that's not just like, oh, if this one person doesn't get back to me, you know, or if in the same kind of the intimate relationship of partners sharing domestic labor at home where you freak out because someone didn't wash the dishes or someone didn't keep up with their chores. When there's three, there's always a little extra to pick up the slack. So it's completely anecdotal, but I think it's interesting to think about for other businesses if you're considering, you know, do I have one co-founder or two? Do I do it alone? That three can be a magic number.
Three is always actually, I named my consulting company 3DM Communications. Three has always been a powerful number in my world. And so I completely agree. I also believe in cycles of three and that it takes at least 3 months to see any kind of impact and change. So I don't consider it anecdotal, but I think you are a walking, talking, living example of that being successful. And I think also, too, it's something that I like to see is that you started without knowing what kind of success call your girlfriend was going to gain. What I'm hearing you say is that it was actually like, hey, we have fun. We're funny. I know how to produce this thing. I got this. Let's just have some fun.
Mm-hmm.
But now you have a tremendously successful show. Thanks. And very well recognized in the space. And you do your shows live. So my point in bringing all this up is to say it hasn't affected the dynamics of your relationship. Like, you don't have that celebrity factor where it got everything kind of busted up because no one's ego got bigger than anybody else's ego. It's still so normalized, and I think that's amazing.
It's kind of like, I think it's interesting when you mention celebrities, the people that you see out there who have probably not simply strength of character, but also the people who keep them grounded, right? And so working with the people who know your whole story, who care about you as a person, I think pays dividends in the business as well.
Yes, no question about that for sure.
Can I ask you a question?
Oh, you can ask me anything. I'm transparent, open book.
You alluded to having a collegial relationship that develops into a friendship. Did you have an example of starting a business with someone that, and how did that affect your friendship?
Oh, well, so I have an amazing positive story that currently exists, and I have one that ended up in what I'll kindly reference as a business divorce. And I laugh.
Should we do bad news, good news, or good news, bad news?
Let's do bad news, good news, so we can. I always like a positive to be end on a high note.
Exactly.
And you know what? Here's what I'm going to say, because I don't want to be disparaging, but I had a situation where I had a partnership and we became extremely close because of the amount of time, literally physical and time, that we spent together. And so it's like I had a running partner when I was training for a half marathon, and like I know everything about her, because when you run that many miles side by side with somebody while you're training, like you really get to know them. And I felt that way about this relationship. It turned into a really intense friendship in which like I became close with her children, and I stayed in her home, and I, you know, we went through a tremendous amount of growing pains together with this company, and it didn't end well, and it ended because philosophically it became very obvious that we weren't on the same page about where the direction and the things that needed to happen to continue the sustainability of that company.
In terms of the mission or in terms of the implementation?
A little bit of both.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I think for me, the heartbreaking side of it was that it wasn't we were partners, but I didn't own the company. So I had equity in the company, uh-huh. but it wasn't a business that we started out together 50-50. I was brought into the company to be at basically transition turnaround to integrate a new business model and keep it sustainable. And we had exponential growth as a result of that. And so I loved it like it was mine, but at the end of the day, it wasn't. And so the mission of the and the passion behind it, I had exuded a little bit more so than I think the perspective of the person who owned it. But, you know, that's my perspective. Everybody has their own side of the story.
Do you feel like you gave too much of yourself to that enterprise in the end?
I gave 180% of myself. And one of the reasons why we're sitting here doing this show is because of the absolute heartbreak and true physical, spiritual, emotional exhaustion that occurred as a result of the amount I put in for the, it was three years of just 24/7, eat, breathe, and sleep. And then when I chose to step away from it, it felt as painful as any loss could ever feel, because I adored her, her family, the business, everything. But I will say that I learned so much from it that I'm grateful for the experience. And as a result of the experience, I have so many women business girlfriends that I still have really close, tight relationships with, even though I don't have a relationship anymore with the founder that we were speaking of. But I have so many other amazing opportunities that have presented themselves and friendships that came out of it. So everything was worth it. Yeah. It just was hurtful, like really hurtful.
Oh.
So my positive story is I currently have a business partner in a business that we started it together. So that's the difference. So it wasn't a business that she came in that I had already started, or that I came in that she had already started. We met serendipitously. She was the yin to my yang. She's a fine arts painter, and I lovingly am the business side of the art business. And we have an event-based destination workshop, event-based business in a tourist area, St. Simons Island, Georgia. But we have been working together for 6 years, and we practiced the shine theory, even though I didn't know that it had a name. But yeah. I love that, and I'm going to credit it always. But I'm so going to be talking about that going forward, because we really do lift each other up, and we also honor each other's strengths and weaknesses, because I could never teach painting, but I could never run a business where people came and were inspired to be creative if I didn't have somebody who could teach painting. And she loves to paint, but she doesn't really care for the business side of the art business. So yeah. We really complement each other, and it's an amazing partnership.
That's fabulous. So, I'm so happy to hear it.
And my very best friend that I was telling you about, since we're talking about call your girlfriends,
yeah.
is I call my girlfriend all the time, my very best friend, Tammy. And we recently as like this morning, we both helped each other out with the business situation. So we no longer work together in the business, but she stayed in the same broadcast media business as have I, but we've just branched out in different categories. And I had a client that I had a business category experience that she was excellent in, and she was having experience with the negotiation that I had most experience in. So we literally solved each other's problems over the phone this morning at like 6 a.m. Eastern time, because we're in LA after all. So,
yeah.
But I think that, you know, that is such a great testament to, I mean, we've been friends since we were 15 and 16 years old. And that, yeah I won't do the math on that, but we have mixed business and pleasure our entire friendship, essentially.
Yeah. So, congratulations.
Yeah. And I think like that's one of the reasons why I wanted to have you be a guest on the show, because I do think there are a lot of ideas around, is it possible? Will it bust up the friendship? Should we even do this? And of course, then when you see like these studies about, you know, that the groups made up of friends proved to be the most unstable, like that is not necessarily my experience or a lot of the women entrepreneurs that I've worked with over the past decade. It clearly isn't yours. So I wanted us to have a voice around how does that look. And I think,
yeah, absolutely. And I think it's interesting to, you know, if we had the opportunity to dig into those numbers, I would be curious if that changes at the stage of your career or development, because when you think about if you were a really passionate entrepreneur in your early 20s, the friends you start the business with at max, you have 20 years of friendship, where someone that you get into business with perhaps later in your career, those are more tested relationships. In the same way that friendships, you know, have ebbs and flows, and some people fall away because they were your great party friends, but not necessarily your heart friends.
Exactly. No question.
Yeah, and that with time, you know, that you really strike upon the gems. I don't know. I'd be interested in.
But I think at the end of the day, what you said about being committed to the respect of the relationship, I think fundamentally, in my opinion, is the core to the success of any business partnership or any marriage or any friendship. And so I applaud that that's the in the power of three, not being a negative, but a positive. So normally, we always have a takeaway segment, and I typically do a takeaway, but if I could just totally catch you off guard and just ask you if you have any takeaway in terms of either with maybe some women out there who are considering getting into business with their girlfriends or getting into launching a podcast, just any takeaway, that the first one that comes to your mind.
I think my number one takeaway is to flex your ego a little bit, that I think women are so frequently discouraged from shouting out what we're good at, and that sometimes that results in competition of tearing another person down, that really owning your strengths and then seeking people who value that in you, that that's a great person to get into business with, and that podcasting as a business specifically is really exciting, but I think that that applies widely, of someone who is loving, curious, and dedicated, that's a relationship that can go far in so many different aspects of life.
Well, there's no question to me why everybody wants to be your girlfriend. I want to be your girlfriend. I'm considered your girlfriend now, right? We're friends. I love that.
We're friends.
I'll try not to call you too much.
Just remember, I don't wake up early and I live in the Pacific time zone.
Not a problem. I don't either. So we probably still be okay. Okay, Russ, we miss you, sort of. But I bet you're just sitting in my lonely, bouncy chair. Maybe you're taking good care of it over there on your own.
Tracy, I threw your bouncy chair in the lake. All right, girls, don't go anywhere. We're going to take a quick break, and then we're going to close out the show right after this.
Podcasting is becoming the hottest marketing platform and most personal way to convey your message to the world. Is the only thing keeping you from launching your podcast not knowing how? ProduceYourPodcast.com gets you there. Let our award-winning team of veteran broadcasters relieve the overwhelm of launching, managing, and growing your show. You create the content and let the experts take the stress out of the rest. Contact us at ProduceYourPodcast.com for a free 15-minute consultation. ProduceYourPodcast.com.
Take your business personally. Journey to There.
We are back. It's the Journey to There radio show. I am on the East Coast. Tracy is out West. Why? You are?
Live in LA from the WYNC studios. And I must say, we've had the most awesome person in our studio who represents Cole Haan. And I can't wrap up a show about girlfriends without talking about shoes. I mean, come on. And they have all these like amazing quotes sitting around. And one of them says, extraordinary blazes new trails. And so I appreciate that you shared your experience of blazing new trails with us.
Thanks, Tracy. Thank you. Thanks, Russ.
Yes.
In absentia.
And thank you, Gina, for joining us today. Yeah, I like that. In absentia.
Yes. Bye, Russ.
See you on the internet. Uh-huh. That's our signature sign off.
Oh, I love it.
You girls are great. That was awesome. Well, this has been an honor. Recorded at the Work It WNYC Studios Festival for Women in Podcasting in the pop-up studio, proudly powered by Cole Haan, committed to extraordinary women telling extraordinary stories. And you girls are extraordinary. Along with Tracy DeForge, I'm Russ Reba. Don't miss our next episode. You never know where we'll be on location, or maybe just back in the studio with Tracy on her wet, bouncy, bald chair. We look forward to hanging out with you at the intersection between personal and business growth. This is the Journey to There radio show.
We hope you've enjoyed today's journey, and we invite you to visit journeytothere.com to download full episodes, find show notes, and connect with us by signing up for our newsletter. We want to hear from you. Give us feedback or ask any questions by clicking or tapping Contact Us. That's journeytothere.com.